Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm happy to be here with you on this Monday. What a weekend in sports we have to talk about. We previewed three big stories for you on Friday. The African Cup of Nations draw, the Masters Golf Tournament, and the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs. Well, in case you didn't know, this is what everyone is talking about this Monday here in the United States.
Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
That's Jim Nantz of CBS Sports narrating the final stroke of Tiger Woods' remarkable win in Augusta, Georgia at the Masters on Sunday. Woods finished ahead of fellow Americans Xander Schauffele, Brooks Koepka, and Dustin Johnson by one stroke. It's Woods' first major since he won the 2008 U.S. Open. Woods' physical and personal struggles have been well documented, and our colleague Gwen Uten will have more about Tiger's win later in the show. We'll also have a look at some of the results from the first weekend of the NBA playoffs and a chat with ESPN's NBA reporter Nick Friedel. Also, to close the loop from Friday's show, when Gwen had a story about the Formula One race in Shanghai, China, well, as he's done 74 other times in his career, Lewis Hamilton took home the victory on Sunday. One other quick preview for what's ahead in today's show. We'll have the results of the Boston Marathon, which just came to a close. We'll have the final professional standings and let you know how the East African runners we mentioned on Friday did during their 26.2-mile run from the Boston suburbs into the central part of the city on what's known as Patriots Day in Massachusetts. First off, we'll have Samson Omale to get us up to date on the draw for this year's African Cup of Nations, which took place just after our show on Friday. Welcome, Samson.
So with a look at the draws for the 2019 AFCON, which took place in Egypt on Friday night. Host Egypt, winners of the competition a record seven times, will face double champions Democratic Republic of Congo, Uganda and Zimbabwe in Group A. Egypt will kick off the event against Zimbabwe in Cairo on June the 21st. The tournament ends on June the 19th. Nigeria will take on Guinea, Madagascar and Burundi in Group B. Coach Gernot Rau is confident of his chances of progressing into the next round.
Each team is difficult, you know. It's a long season now. They will finish in May. They have to recover and we have to make a good preparation. I think we will come also to Egypt to prepare the 10 last days before the competition. We will come here and do another friendly before we start our competition.
In Group C, Senegal, the only one of the six top seeds never to have won the event, will face the former champion Algeria as well as the East African pair of Kenya and Tanzania. Every draw contains a so-called group of death, and in this instance, it is undoubtedly Group D with former champions Morocco, Ivory Coast, South Africa, plus outsiders Namibia. Deji Ogunbo, a football analyst, believes the best losers could come from this group.
Undoubtedly the group of deaths. For Morocco, they've got a sheriff that understands what it takes to win the Nations Cup in Avi Renard. Qualified as one of the best team at the World Cup, even though they didn't showcase themselves well, but definitely is facing his former side in which he saw them to claw victory at last time in the Nations Cup. Talking about the Ivorians, that was the second time of them winning the Nations Cup. The South Africans also are trying to rough who showed us with the best. They qualified alongside Nigeria in their own group too. They play one of the best brand of football. But in terms of natural talent, you can't compare what they've got to what the Ivorians have got with likes of Fufeza are spearheading their attack, as well as the Moroccans to again marshalled in defense by Mehdi Benatia. So I feel I'm probably going to go for Morocco as well as Ivory Coast. But don't forget that they're going to be a best loser. So maybe South Africans might even cause an upset. So definitely this has to be the group of death going into the Nations Cup.
Tunisia will face Mali, Mauritania and Angola in Group E. Group F in the 24-team tournament brought together the second and third most successful sides in its history. Cameroon, who won their fifth continental crown last time and were originally set to host the competition, will face four-time winners Ghana, Benin Republic and Guinea-Bissau. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now, to piggyback on Samson's news of the draw, we're joined now by Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria, who talked with sports journalists and fans about the draw, which sees the Super Eagles in a group with Guinea, Madagascar, and Burundi for the tournament coming up in June. Welcome to the show, Mike.
My name is Peter Damian Ejiofor. I am the sports editor of the news agency of Nigeria.
Nigeria is in Group B with Guinea, Madagascar and Burundi. What's your take on the group?
Well, contrary to the expectations of Nigerians that it's a comfortable group for the Super Eagles, I quite disagree. Because in that group, you have people who are making their debut, Burundi and Madagascar. And in football, they want to make their impact. They want to tell their fans back home that they are mature in the game. And now you can see that the football register is beginning to lose that word minnows. No team is a minnow now. So for us Nigerians and the Super Eagles to excel in that group, we have to really work hard.
My name is Tunde. Well, I think Nigeria as a formidable team when it comes to African football. I believe they're going to top the group. But like I always said, there are no minnows in football. Anything can happen when it comes to African football. So I believe the only team that will pose a threat to Nigeria, I would say, is Guinea.
My name is Agofor Pascal. Well, I think it's an easy one for Nigeria. I think Maju Pinnick is actually doing his thing. That's from my perspective, though. It's going to be an easy one for Nigeria, unlike other groups, maybe like the one in South Africa and Morocco. I think that's a tough one for them. But come on, Nigeria will do it.
Okay, according to what my colleagues have just said, I will support one of my colleagues that said Guinea will be the toughest country that will give us a tough time in that group.
My name is Mr. Michael Bukunye. Considering the fact that this is the Nations Cup, all the time Nigeria has always been in a group that is very tough. So this is not the first time they put us in any group. Though for our group, which is the Guinea, Madagascar, I see no threat there because we've been always conquering and definitely we will pass through. There's no big deal.
My name is Rotimi. I believe that we're going to come up top in that very group because as a football nation, Nigeria, we are going to try our best and we'll come up top.
My name is Franklin Obinna. I believe in our team can prove themselves because we have been doing it before, and if you look at the group stage, the Guinea and the Madagascar that is in our group, I think we'll come out the best. I believe in our Super Eagles.
Thank you, Mike. That's Iron Mike Mbonye, who took his recorder out to the streets of Lagos, Nigeria, to get a sense of what people are thinking about Nigeria's AFCON pool. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. Now, keeping with the spirit of African sports, let's take a look at the results of Monday's Boston Marathon. As we mentioned on Friday, the 2018 version of the race proved difficult for the African contenders, with freezing temperatures and a driving rain. Japanese man Yuki Kawauchi won his division, while American Des Linden won hers. Now, the weather in Boston today was much more suitable for running, with, according to letsrun.com, much warmer temperatures and even a tailwind for part of the race. Now, let me say, when you're running into a headwind, you can certainly feel it. Well, it turns out the African runners appreciated the change in temperature 365 days later as Lawrence Chirono of Kenya won the men's race in 2 hours, 7:57. Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia was just behind 2 seconds later. Kenneth Kipkemoy, Felix Candy, and Jeffrey Kirui of Kenya finished out the top five. In the women's race, Worknesh Degefa of Ethiopia took the title, and Edna Kiplagat of Kenya was in second place. Jordan Hesse of the United States was in third. Meskerem Assefa of Ethiopia and last year's champion Des Linden finished fifth. We're joined now with some other big news coming out of the eastern part of the United States, and that's the Tiger Woods victory at the Masters on Sunday. My colleague Gwen Ooten is here with more.
Sporty greetings, Dan. It's been 11 years since Tiger Woods won a major and 14 since he won a Masters. But on Sunday, Tiger ended the drought, slid his arms into the coveted green jacket for a fifth time, and said simply, "It fits." In a news conference afterwards, Tiger had a little more to say about what his victory means to him.
Just unreal, to be honest with you. It's you know, just the whole tournament has meant so much to me over the years. coming here in 95 for the first time and being able to play as an amateur, winning in 97, and then come full circle 22 years later, be able to do it again. And just the way it all transpired today, there were so many different scenarios that could have transpired on that back nine. There were so many guys who had a chance to win. Leaderboard was absolutely packed, and everyone was playing well. So you could have had more drama than what we all had out there. And 9 away, I'm balding. this stuff is hard. just to come back here and then to play as well as I did and did all the things, all the little things well this week. And to do it here, this has meant so much to me and my family, this tournament, and to have everyone here, it's something I'll never, ever forget.
And it's a moment his fans won't forget either. Tiger won his last major title in 2008, and following a series of injuries, surgeries, and a personal scandal, many believed a comeback for golf's biggest star was impossible. Even Tiger had all but written himself off. In 2017, he was barely able to hit 60-yard shots and nearly walked away from the game. On Sunday, Tiger recalled how he wasn't sure if he would ever win a 15th major.
I had, you know, serious doubts after, you know, what transpired a couple years ago. I mean, I could barely walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. I really couldn't do much of anything. Luckily, I had the procedure on my back, which gave me a chance at, you know, having a, you know, a normal life. But then all of a sudden, I realized I could actually swing a golf club again. And I felt if I could somehow piece this together, that I still had the hands to do it. The body's not the same as it was, you know, a long time ago, but I still have good hands. And so that certainly has helped, and I've pieced it together. And next thing you know, if you look at it, my first 14 wins in majors were always, I had the lead in every one of them, or tied for the lead. To have the opportunity to come back like this, you know, it is probably one of the biggest wins I've ever had for sure because of it.
Well, you can count his iconic victory at the 1997 Masters Tournament as another one of his big wins. In it, he finished a record 12 strokes ahead of his nearest competitor. By the way, Tiger broke his own record 3 years later, winning the U.S. Open by a 15-shot margin. However, this year's Masters was a tight race to the finish. Tiger trailed going into the final round and had to fend off a slew of competitors who either shared the lead or were one shot back. But Tiger ended the day just one stroke ahead in what is arguably the most redemptive victory in sports history. And Tiger said Sunday's win ranks among his best.
I mean, it's got to be right up there, right? With all the things that I've battled through and just was able to be lucky enough and fortunate enough to be able to do this again. You know, it's ironic that, you know, I was given a chance to play golf again, and lo and behold, I win a tournament coming from behind, which I hadn't done for the first 14. And so it's just amazing.
It was amazing. The crowd went wild and chanted his name, and Tiger Mania reached a fever pitch. Social media lit up like a Christmas tree with congratulatory messages from the likes of U.S. President Donald Trump and former President Barack Obama, and athletes like Serena Williams and Steph Curry. And actor Samuel Jackson reminded us of a line said by a character in his movie Shaft, "Tiger Woo, Tiger Woo, I like him." Tiger's win has been dubbed the greatest comeback in sports history and the best thing to happen to the game of golf in a long, long time. He is now number 6 in the world, his best ranking since 2014. He's back. And that's all for me. Dan, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're joined now by our friend Prince Nesta, who's been tracking the news of European soccer from his view high up in the mountains of Reno, Nevada. Sporty greetings, Prince. What's
Sporty
new?
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah scored an absolute screamer to keep Liverpool hopes of winning the English Premier League title for the first time in 29 years very much alive, as the Reds beat Chelsea 2-0 at Anfield. The 26-year-old has now scored 19 goals in the Premier League and is currently the league top scorer alongside Manchester City's Sergio Aguero. However, it was Senegalese Benjamin Sadio Mane who opened the scoring for Liverpool with a powerful header in the 51st minute to set Liverpool on course for a huge 3-point victory. Liverpool now lead the standings, 2 points ahead of Manchester City, who defeated Crystal Palace 3-1, thanks to goals from Raheem Sterling and Gabriel Jesus. French superstar of Guinean descent Paul Pogba scored twice from the spot to keep Manchester United firmly in the hunt for Champions League qualification with a 2-1 win over West Ham at Old Trafford. The Red Devils are now fifth in the table with 64 points. Kenyan international Victor Wanyama also scored his first goal of the season as Tottenham Hotspur demolished already relegated side Huddersfield Town 4-0 at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The 27-year-old, who has been limited to 8 league games this season due to a lingering knee injury, broke the deadlock in the 24th minute before Lucas Moura completed a brilliant hat-trick to send Spurs to third with 67 points.
Prince, Arsenal faces another daunting road match against Watford on the backs of a mix of results. Any analysis and predictions?
That's right, Dan. It's going to be a very, very tough match for the Gunners, who still have top four ambitions in order to qualify for the Champions League next season. And Watford actually came from behind to beat Arsenal in the corresponding match last season, with Tom Cleverley scoring a stoppage time winner. One fact about this match is that none of the 11 previous Premier League meetings have ended in a draw, and it's also going to be a big blow for Watford since they will be playing without Tom Cleverley. My prediction for this match is going to be Arsenal 2 and Watford 0.
Thanks, Prince. Moving on to the French League, PSG failed to seal the French title for the second week in a row.
That's right, Dan. The Red and Blues title celebrations were delayed again when they suffered an embarrassing 5-1 defeat by second-placed Lille after being reduced to 10 men. Second-half goals from French-born Ivorian international winger Nicolas Pepe, French footballer of Ivorian descent Jonathan Bamba, Gabriel and Jose Fonte inflicted the Parisians' heaviest league defeat since Qatar Sports Investment took over the club in 2011. French superstar of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe also had two efforts disallowed for offside in the first half. Belgian footballer of Congolese descent Anthony Limbombe scored a superb free kick to help Nantes beat third-placed Olympique Lyon 2-1, dashing their Champions League qualifying hopes. Lyon are now on 56 points with 6 games left, 6 ahead of fourth-placed Saint-Étienne.
Prince, Barcelona fielded an almost entirely second-string side against Huesca as they made 10 changes to the side that beat United on Wednesday.
That's right, Dan. They rested star players including Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez as they earned a 0-0 draw by Huesca. Barca remain firmly on course for the title and will be grateful to have rested several key performers ahead of their Champions League quarterfinal second leg against Manchester United. Barca now have 74 points, 9 clear of Atletico Madrid, who beat Celta Vigo 2-0, with Antoine Griezmann scoring the opener and then setting up Alvaro Morata for a second. Real Madrid will travel to Leganés on Monday night as they aim for a positive finish after a season full of struggles. Real Madrid currently lie third in the standings, 14 points behind league leaders and arch rivals Barcelona. And Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Dan.
That's our friend Prince Nesta. Thanks for those Nesta nuggets, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon. Now, it's hard to believe it's already time for the NBA playoffs. I remember hosting the show back in October when the season was just beginning. There were a number of questions about the upcoming season that now have been answered, like, could the Los Angeles Lakers make the playoffs with LeBron James? We know that LeBron will miss the playoffs for the first time in about 15 seasons. Now, the real season begins. I caught up with my cousin. He's an ESPN NBA reporter, Nick Friedel. I asked Nick to explain the difference between the regular season, which features an 82-game grind, and the postseason. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Dan, there's two big keys here to me. One, the intensity level in the playoffs is so much higher than most regular season games. Players just get up for these games more. They mean more. They know that this is when more money is on the line in the form of bonuses, and the history is on the line if you're trying to chase a championship. So a team like the Warriors that kind of goes through the motions at times during the regular season, they know when the playoffs hit, that's when it's time to play at their peak. And it's always fun watching that change going from regular season to postseason and the mindset, the different mindsets that the players take with them. The second part is stars always show up in the playoffs if a team is able to make a run. It's nice to have players who play hard and who come together and play well in the framework of a team, but stars win in the playoffs, and that's the difference. And if you're watching a team and you've supported them all year and you're wondering, all right, why can't they get over the hump? Usually what that means is they don't have the star power that their opponent does. And historically in the NBA, that's always been the case, and that is even more pronounced in the postseason on a regular basis when you're watching these games.
Let's see how the Warriors did in tipping off their playoffs over the weekend. The Associated Press has this report.
The Warriors continued their dominance in the playoffs at home by beating the Clippers 121-104. Stephen Curry led the way with 38 points and 15 rebounds. Curry made 8 three-pointers, passing the all-time postseason mark set by Ray Allen, and now holds the record with 386 threes.
To pass a guy like Ray Allen and all the iconic moments he's had, you know, in playoff games and finals games and all that type of stuff, it's pretty surreal. So definitely, you know, honored and grateful for those opportunities. I always joke though, I shoot a lot of threes, I better make a lot of them.
Kevin Durant added 23 points and Draymond Green with 17. Durant and Patrick Beverley of the Clippers were ejected in the fourth quarter. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
The Warriors and the Clippers will be back at it tonight, as will the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets. That wraps up the April 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. Quick shout out to my mother. Happy birthday, Mom. Kathy Friedel's birthday is also on tax day. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has made headlines for pushing through unprecedented reforms. But many challenges lie ahead in creating a national consensus. Discussing Ethiopia's future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa Show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomical history was made on April 10th when it was announced that scientists with the Event Horizon Telescope Project had, for the first time, directly observed and captured an image of a black hole. Now, the black hole, which lies in the center of the Messier 87 galaxy, some 55 million light-years away, has a name. It's Povehi. It's a Hawaiian language name that means embellished dark source of unending creation. Two of the telescopes that make up the Event Horizon Telescope are located atop Mauna Kea on Hawaii Island. The astronomers collaborated with Larry Kimura, a Hawaiian language professor and cultural practitioner at the University of Hawaii at Hilo, to select the name. Povehi was taken from the Komulipo, an ancient chant that describes the creation of the Hawaiian universe. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.